Well, hey guys, good morning, afternoon, or evening. Welcome to my daily update video, The Graham Show. Today's Monday, December the 7th, and it is a cold, well, at least here in Massachusetts, it's cold. Still a lot of snow and ice around from a storm here on Saturday. And today's my day off, but I'm going to do a lot of work today, so I'm going to sneak into my church and do some sorting stuff out, and about to go for a coffee and do some videos, but good. How's it going? How is life? Hey, in today's video, I'm actually rebooting my blog, and I'm going to do a blog post later on how to live free from fear. Is it possible to live free from fear? And how do we live free from fear? So I'm going to get back to that in a moment. And I want to actually give you six keys to living completely free from fear, which is how I believe God wants us to live for the rest of our lives. Hey, a few quick housekeeping things. Again, if you're new to any of my social media platforms, hit the subscribe button on YouTube. There's one down there, or iTunes or Apple Podcasts, I guess they call it there. Spotify, all of those good things. I'm actually putting out a link later today, ggm.org/subscribe. So all the different ways of following those things. If you're not getting our email newsletter, I encourage you to do that. Hey, I have a free gift as well. Something I remember years ago, Dodie Osteen, Joel Osteen's mom, John Osteen's wife, in the 80s, she was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and she basically went, you know, cold turkey, hardcore, went into the basement with a Bible and wrote a list of 40 scriptures and just cycled through those 40 scriptures. And today, in nearly 2021, she's still alive and well, completely cancer-free. And I have a PDF with those 40 scriptures on. If anybody's interested in that, or somebody you know needs some healing scriptures, that's a great resource. And I'll be giving that out when anybody signs up for our email newsletter. So check out the link below for that. Good. Hey, just thanks again to all of the partners of our ministry. 2021, I know for most of the world, has been a really weird year, especially in terms of anybody who travels in ministry as well, which is probably about a third of what I do, of my time, of my income, things like that. So thank you guys for faithfully praying and giving and supporting and with that. Hey, let me say as well, I am currently booking meetings for 2021. I'm looking at doing two mission trips in the first 6 months of 2021, and lots of ministry and mission trips here around New England as well. Also plan on being in Texas. So anybody who's interested in booking a meeting or finding out about meetings we already have booked, check out my website or drop me a line there. Good. Hey, let's talk about fear. Can we do that? So let me begin here. I think everybody, not being negative, but I would say everybody's going to be attacked by fear at some stage in their life. It's not a strange thing. You're not unusual or peculiar, or more peculiar than you should be, that you battle fear at times. I think most of us are going to go through that. It's an interesting thing that every time an angel showed up in the Old Testament or the New Testament, when Jesus showed up after his resurrection, my point, anytime a supernatural encounter would come, the first thing the angel would always say is, fear not, do not fear, get rid of fear. God doesn't want you to have fear. Let me give you another perspective on that. Heaven is a completely fear-free zone. There's not one fear in heaven. There's not one doubt in heaven. If I were to say to you, you know, there's no water on the surface anyway of the sun. I don't think there is a surface to the sun. But you see what I'm saying? If you told me there was a lake of water on the surface of the sun, it would just be atomized. It would be obliterated. You couldn't put a lake within a, you know, probably a million miles of the sun. Well, I don't know what I'm talking about here. But my point is, there's no fear in heaven. Why? Because there are fear angels that drive it out. No, perfect love drives out fear, and love is the atmosphere of heaven. That's why, you know, the Bible says in Colossians 1:13, we've been translated, literally raptured is the word, from the kingdom of darkness, from the dominion of darkness, dominion as in the rule and authority, not as in a voting machine, We've been translated from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom, or the dominion, the king's domain of the Son of his love. So God wants us to live in a fear-free place. But I want to say it's not weird that you ever get attacked by it. The trick is not to try and create a life where nothing ever attacks you that you will be fearful of. You know, the trick is to actually learn to navigate fear and learn to live above fear. Yeah. So I'm not advocating you try to build or pray for a life where nothing fearful ever happens to you, but rather that you live above it. Boom. So I want to give you 6 quick keys to doing that. And the first one you may not like, but it's actually wisdom. Let me say this. There are some things we should be fearful of. And I want you to catch this. There's a difference between having fear within our hearts and having a healthy respect for a situation. So I don't put my hand into a burning hot stove. Now, I'm not fearful of it, but I would be fearful of doing that because it would be a dumb thing to do. I am not fearful of flying, but I don't walk out of the door on the plane in mid-Atlantic. I am not afraid of the government and they're going to get me or whatever, but I have a healthy fear of the IRS. My point is I file my taxes every year, and I know if you don't do that, there are consequences, things like that. So there's a difference between having a wisdom context around what we should do and what we should not do. Probably like many of you, maybe more than a bunch of you, I've been in some dangerous places and cities in my life. I used to live in a city in France where, you wouldn't walk through the town in the middle of the night. And I'm sure there are many, many places like that here in America. I've been to some places in India. I remember once being in India with a pastor friend of mine. And in a way, he was naively unaware of some of the dangers that were around him. And, there are places you don't go, and places you don't be alone, or at certain times of day, or all this kind of thing. So my point is, there's a difference between having a genuine fear of a situation or actually allowing fear to get into your heart. And I want to make the difference between those. How do we tell the difference? We should actually just pray and ask the Lord for wisdom. So, in this COVID thing going around in 2020, I am not fearful of that, but I don't mind. I probably wash my hands a lot more than I used to. That's probably a good thing, isn't it? But sanitize and, tell my kids if we're going to go into some dangerous situation to put a mask on or whatever. My point is that's a different thing than fear. I want to follow the best guidance I can in life, but that's not about fear. And fear inside of you is a completely different thing. That's really what I'm talking about here. So I think number one, we pray for wisdom as we walk through life. And, at times God will say, go there, don't go there. So some situations, it's not that we have an internal fear. It's just that we simply should not be in the situation. Yeah, good point. Number two, we eradicate the lie. And all fear is predicated upon a lie, even if there are pieces of truth in that lie. So basically, fear works this way. The world, the flesh, and the devil, our three big enemies, come to us and say, if you do this, this is going to happen. Or this terrible thing is going to befall you. You're going to have a car accident. You're going to catch COVID-27. You're going to die of cancer. You're going to do this. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. And, it can sound comical if I say those things, but you and I are actually, we're very capable of believing anything. And Satan is so subtle. His only power is the power of deception and the power to lie. But it's really empowering to realize that Satan comes and he will lie to you about other people. He will tell you somebody that God's maybe called you to be with, to be married with, or to work with, or walk with, you can't trust them. And he's not psychic. He tries to press our buttons and find a lie that we'll believe in, usually one that's connected with our own insecurities or an area of our life we haven't established God's word in. So if Satan can come and tell you, you're not going to be respected here, or you're going to be cheated on, or they're going to steal money from you, or, anything, you're going to catch. It says in Proverbs, there is a lion in the street. In a way, the book of Proverbs is saying, if you believe there's a lion out there and you sit, it's laughable, but if you sit there thinking upon it, you won't leave your house, baby. So actually look at the lie. Sometimes we find ourselves in that situation where fear is actually going on the inside of us. And it's because we've bought into a lie. Okay, how do we get rid of it? Number three, take authority. And again, I'd love to, I want to do some more teaching on this at times, but taking authority does not mean saying the words, I take authority. Yeah? Sometimes I see these Christians, it's like we with these magic words, shouting the name of Jesus, doesn't give you revelation of the name of Jesus. And simply saying, I take authority in this situation. Taking authority actually means taking charge. It means saying no. It means at times you've got to do violence and say, stop. I'm not doing this. I am going to have love, power, and have a sound mind. What did God say through Paul to Timothy? God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but love, which drives that fear. Power, in a word, the actual word is dominion or authority there, and a sound mind. So we have to actually take authority, and by that I mean you take control in the situation. You know, if I am, let's say I'm in charge in one of the churches I lead and I walk in there mid-service and there's all craziness going on, simply my walking around the room saying, I have authority, I have authority, I have authority, is not me taking authority. Rather, my grabbing the mic and saying, right, you stop that. Somebody put the lights on. Let's bring this thing into order. Right, guys, we're going to pray and we're going to move on. That's taking authority. That's moving the thing in the right direction, not simply screaming and yelling about the negative. So take authority in that situation. How else do we get rid of fear? Well, number four is we displace it. And we talked about a lie. So let me put it, you believe there's a lion in the street. You're going to enter, if you think about that, an emotion begins to exist like that you're aware of, and then emotions begin to exist you're not even aware of, and there's a place you actually open a door to Satan there. But the same thing's true when God says something. So if you believe a truth, again, think through this one. It's really powerful we get this. When you take a lie Satan gives you, it has very little power until you engage with it, until you think upon it. And even when you think upon it, it has very little power. Just simply thinking something doesn't really have a lot of power. It has power when it gets into your emotions. And then it has power when it sinks into your emotions and embeds. And then it becomes a stronghold. And that way, literally, you open the door spiritually. Now, the same thing is true with God's word. You can take a scripture in the Bible. It actually has it has power, but it doesn't have power to you till you think about it, till you engage your heart with it, until it sinks in there. So how do you get rid of fear? Take one of God's promises and displace the lie. You're going to catch some terrible disease. No, he is the Lord, my healer. I will take sickness away from the midst of you, and the number of your days I will fulfill. By his stripes we were healed. You take that and don't simply say it like a magic talisman trying to get God to do something. God won't heal you because you say a Bible verse 200,000 times. God's done all he's ever going to do about healing you. When you say the Bible again and again, you're changing you, not God. So displace the bad lie, the bad suggestion, with the thoughts and the promises of God. And then two last things we can do to get rid of fear, and these are really powerful. Number five in my six-step outline here is we praise. And by that I mean there's something powerful, because again, fear touches your emotions. Fear has torment, it says in Romans 8. So if you're in the midst of fear, it's really hard to fight fear, saying, fear, go away, fear, go away. But if you'd walk the floor, Lord, I bless you and I praise you. I don't know what to do, Lord, but I bless you with the high praises of God in my mouth and a two-edged sword in my hand. When you will do that, you push back on fear. My very last key, 1 John 5:18, again, we said it earlier, is perfect love drives out fear. So rather than engaging with fear and trying to fight and battle fear, enter into the love of the Lord. How do you do that? Listen, here's the key. You don't do it by saying, God, pour your love on me, pour your love on me, pour your love on me. You do it by loving him, by saying, Lord, I love you, Lord, by blessing and praising him. And the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, your inner man, by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5, which will push fear out. Boom. Guys, I have to run. I'm trying to keep this under 15 minutes to get this on Instagram as well. So check out, I've got some other videos on prophets and prophecy out later today, and some Q&A sessions in the evening. So I'd love to hear from you. Drop me a line, check out those links below. And thanks for watching, guys.